RDU 98.5, and it's 5 to 9, and we've got the incredible Josh from Scorpio Books here. And seems you've got a beautiful wee recommendation for us.
I do. I read a fantastic book recently by the wonderful Richard Swan. For people that have been listening to RDU for a while, they may remember I talked about a Richard Swan book, it must have been a year or so ago now, called Justice of Kings, which is the first book in the Empire of the Wolf series. Richard Swan has a new fantasy book out called Grave Empire, which is number one in the Grave Silence series. And what he's done with this one, which is something that I've personally only seen Brandon Sanderson do before, is he's taken his world from Empire of the Wolf, which was classic fantasy, swords, shields, kingdoms, etc., etc. And he's aged that up 200 years in the future. So now they're basically in real world equivalent about the early 1800s technology wise. So they've got cannons, they've got muskets, they've got big ships, but they're still, you know, kind of in the early days of those achievements. And there is darkness festering in the Empire, as one would expect from a book of this nature. So Empire of the Wolf series definitely had some horror elements to it. By the time I got to the third book, there was a lot of kind of Lovecraftian nightmares and things of that nature. This book, I would say, is firmly a fantasy horror. It definitely sits in that subsect, which isn't something that I've read a huge amount of, because usually I'm not a big horror person, but I think because it's in like a fantasy world, it's easier for me to be like, it's not real, it's fine. even when it gets quite scary. So there is a lot of very cool, you know, demonic entities possessing people, etc., etc. But basically the plot of this one is you've got two main characters, really. Paul, who is a... Peter, that's what it is. Who is kind of set off to the New East, which is kind of the new frontier of their empire, and he's, you know, dealing with some very strange goings on over there. He gets there and it's a bit of a crap detail, but he's like, you know, I'll just kind of work out my captaincy. I'm mainly just here for the credits, you know, I'm not too worried about fighting. Gets there, everyone hears an ethereal screaming every night, people are going missing. It's in a big forest that is completely untamed and unexplored. And so it's a little bit more on his plate than he bargained for, especially as he's sent out into the forest to find the source of this screaming. So that's what's going on with him. And then Renata is our other main character, which is great because I have a coworker, Renata. Never seen her name in a book before. First time. Amazing. So Renata is the kind of co-ambassador or junior ambassador to the Stygon, which are the mer people of this world. It's again kind of a crap detail for the Empire. The Stygon, there isn't really anything that the Stygon have that the Empire wants. There isn't anything that the Empire has that the Stygon want. They mainly just are an adversarial relationship when their ships go over Stygon land, or when they, you know, hunt whales in Stygon seas. But nonetheless, she's there. She's never actually talked to a Stygon, but, you know, it's a job. She needs a job. And then suddenly two strange heretical monks who have been secretly practicing death magic, which is illegal in the Empire and has been since the events of the first trilogy from a while ago because of some bad things that happened there. But they've been doing it anyway. And they come to the Empire with the grave warning that the spirits of the afterlife have gone silent. No one knows where they are, if they're still there and just not talking to us, or something of the like. And thus the plot unfolds from there. Renata is taken because the Stygon are some of the best magic people, essentially, so they need to go and talk to them. Like, are you also not able to talk to the afterlife like we used to be able to do? And it goes from there. And yeah, there's a lot of very strange going on. There's demon possessions, there's blood magic, there's a little other side plot, which I think will come to be more important in later books, of a plague that's happening in the north of the kingdom, but it's a much more ethereal plague than one would expect. People's minds are essentially becoming vacant, and they're just these, you know, nothing people.
Mm.
And there's a guy up there who sees that this might be a opportunity for him if he can control these people, which is very weird and very evil. And he's not a very nice guy, but he's a fascinating character, as a lot of them are.
It's got depth.
It's got depth. It's got depth. So if you're a fan of high fantasy, I think this is... Richard Swan is one of my favorite authors. His ability to kind of craft these characters in outlandish worlds, doing outlandish things, and still make them feel completely accurate and real.
Wow.
Or if you're a fan of horror books, it's not something that I usually get into, but I was adequately spooked by this. While still, you know, there's a good mystery there. It's not just fear for fear's sake, the stuff going on with it. Lots of very good, weird, gross out body horror stuff, which is cool. Lots of just great stuff like that. I think Richard Swan is just amazing at making worlds feel real. The way that he aged the world up, the way that all of the stuff that we were familiar with from the first three have kind of, you know, grown in this, the religions split in a very kind of natural way. Yeah. All of these things have happened. Not that you have to read the first three. There's a couple of mentions to it. You could totally get away without it.
Totally.
It's a new story, new characters, 200 years later.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's fantastic. Grave Empire by Richard Swan. Come get it at Scorpio.
Love you know? It. Honestly, my only question for you, King, is just what would you rate, you know, the book out of 10?
See, the rating system I find so difficult because it's always like, well, I just love this. You know, if I'm being purely subjective, feel like I would struggle to ever give a book above a 4 because what's a perfect book, right? How can I possibly read a perfect book?
Yes.
Personally, it's a 5 for me.
Personally, it's a 5.
Because I just love it.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
Awesome.
It's fully subjective, 4 to 4.5.
Love
it. Say.
Yep. Awesome. And so they can just go and get it at Scorpio Books.
Go and get it at Scorpio Books.
Amazing. Come thank you so much for your time,
no worries.
That was amazing. Can't wait to hear your next recommendation.